Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you told me 35 years ago I'd be standing here in New Redskin Park, I don't think I would have bet on that. But it's exciting because of the history, the tradition, the comfort about coming home. Everybody who knows me, and hopefully you'll get to know me better, knows that the principles of football in my mind are simple. It's a team. It's 53 men, the entire staff, everybody in a building going in the same direction for one common purpose, and that's to win.
Dan, that statement is music to the ears of the players out here.
Thanks to Richmond John on the way in.
That's right. Branding for today is Grant and Dave, because Bruce Allen called me Dave that time he came on the show.
A very special anniversary installment today of Grant and Danny. Happy 10 years to Bruce Allen, the team president of the Washington Redskins. December 17th, 2009, one decade ago, he was hired. That press conference that you just heard took place. The first game on his watch was the swinging gate fiasco.
Welcome.
The Redskins went 0-3. He said the status quo was unacceptable. He fired Jim Zorn. Mike Shanahan was hired. In the time since, the Redskins have won 62 games. They have lost 100 games, and they tied once in London. In the United States of America, they are exactly 62-100.
That is right, in the continental U.S.
Pretty amazing and certainly unbelievable. Oh, we got so much planned today. A compilation of the finest and most memorable Bruce Allen quotes of all time. We will rank the public debacles that have played out under his watch for you. We will recap his best. There's a couple. And his worst. There are many.
There's some of that.
Acquisitions. We'll play Kirk versus Kurt for the first time ever on Grant and Danny.
It's a fun party game.
We've also got a very special installment of Winning Off the Field. We're going to play a round of office golf in his honor during our show today. And we're even going to try something in the final hour of the show that we've never done before. We're going to try to call someone in Hawaii just to confirm that there are indeed phones in Hawaii, because Bruce Allen once told us that was the case.
I hope it works. I think it'd be so embarrassing if it doesn't work.
If there aren't phones there?
Yeah, like if it doesn't get through.
Well,
he would. That's, with all due respect, that's part of his charm, is what's he saying? Is it true? Does he mean it? Oh, is it real? He knows the truth. He knows better than us. He's much smarter than we all are, of course. And he looks down on us from his throne and can't be bothered to address, public assembled media that represents the people, his constituents. He can't really be bothered to let people know what's really happening, what's going on. Doesn't think we deserve it. And that charm is just so, it oozes off of him.
A hearty congratulations to all of you listening for making it through these 10 years.
That's right, you guys did it too.
Here's to 10 more. How about it? We've got a cake here. It says, happy 10-year Bruce.
Yeah.
Not 10 years, but happy 10-year Bruce, which I think is probably classier in some way.
Right.
A little bit more elegant.
Like, happy 10-year, buddy. You got 10-year. Happy 10-year.
We'll eat this delicious cake at some point, and we'll toast to Bruce Allen on this show today.
We surely will.
But he's made it. He's done it. Bruce Allen is here. So I won't bury the ranking of the debacles, but just kind of in chronological order here for you, some of the things that stick out during what has been a magical run. I think people forget some of why this has been such an amazing decade. In 2010, there was the Donovan McNabb trade and then the extension before he was traded.
That was a great one.
Remember the extension on Monday Night Football 2 weeks after he was almost benched? And actually, a few weeks after he was benched for the two-minute warning because of the cardiovascular endurance.
And so they knew what the story was going to be, and they said, we can't have that. we got to change the story. So just hours before kickoff, they threw together on like a napkin and a dot matrix printer a nonsensical contract offer that they just shared what the headline was. Huge extension, Donovan McNabb, when reality was like, yeah, they can cut him in five minutes and incur no penalty.
A good general manager would still feel shame from that. That's like 18th on the list, by the way.
Wow.
There's the 2011 cap penalty.
Yeah.
There's the 2012 fiasco with Robert Griffin and the empowerment of the quarterback over your head coach that led to the injury against Seattle and eventually a guy that you traded everything for. Some people say, by the way, it was the first of a couple times where they've gone against the coach's wishes to draft a quarterback. But here we were. 2013, Mike Shanahan lights the organization on fire on his way out. Of course, that year you fire Kyle Shanahan, who's got the San Francisco 49ers playing as one of the best teams in the league. You fire Matt LaFleur, who is casually working his way to a one seed perhaps with the Green Bay Packers right now as their head coach.
He seems pretty good.
2015, the beginning of the Kirk Cousins contract saga. He and his agent come to you and say, hey, three-year deal. We want a little more than $17 million a year. He goes, no, we won't do that.
We're
he ends up
it.
Franchise tagging him twice, making a good quarterback, one of the highest paid athletes and guaranteed money on the planet, when he didn't want to keep him anyway. Everything about that was baffling and flummoxing and made no sense.
Scott McLuhan said sign him to a cheap deal now. Then Scott McLuhan told him, trade him if you're not going to do
who?
Those things. Scott McLuhan.
You mean the guy who they hired knowing he had past drinking issues.
Right. No,
to work in a building
private.
Where people drink on the job fairly often.
Yeah. And
allegedly.
Put him in the worst environment imaginable.
And then fire him a couple years later because he was having drinking issues again. Allegedly.
Sure. And he was demonized. This is how it went in Seattle and San Francisco when he left as well.
But they let him leave with dignity?
No, the opposite of that.
What did they do?
Planted story in the Washington Post to make sure everybody knows and then went after his money post-fact to try to, you know, just to make sure to rub his nose in it.
2018 was a busy year, by the way. You had the Brian LaFemina hiring, firing in one season.
Yeah.
The guy you brought in to clean up your stadium environment and the fact that nobody was buying tickets, the guy that the league basically sent you as a gift-wrapped contributor and helper.
You may have this fixer.
You didn't like what he had to
Can
say.
Can you imagine if...
He's running the Olympic Committee in L.A. now.
Yeah, like in Pulp Fiction, if Jules and had just fired Winston Wolfe when he came over. not for you, not for us. We'll handle it.
That same year, by the way, 2018, I'm telling you, this was a keeper. People sleep a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Alex Smith trade.
The Alex Smith era.
And then give him that massive contract, which was ridiculous the day that he signed it.
To send a message that this is the kind of quarterback we want, not the guy that just left.
Well, remember, he was a winner. That was the difference.
He was a big winner.
He wins football games, though. But at least you traded a good cornerback in Kendall Fuller. By the way, Kendall Fuller didn't know he got traded until he found out on Twitter because the communication is so good.
Damn good culture.
That Kendall Fuller, when he was traded, found out from one of the people listening right now to this show. I don't know who it was, but one of you guys was on Twitter and you tweeted at Kendall Fuller and thanked him for the memories. And he asked you, what are you talking about? Because no one with the Redskins had told him he'd been traded. But my other favorite thing in terms of communication about that.
Yeah, what's the best one?
Doug Williams was not in the loop.
Turn your phone off.
Doug Williams, who supposedly is like the general manager here, even though we all know it's Bruce. Doug Williams didn't know they traded for Alex Smith at that time. He found out when the rest of us did, but he was told to turn his phone off. There was something coming down the pike. Figure that out. That was the same year, I believe, as Reuben Foster. Small potatoes, you may remember.
Small potatoes.
Brought in Reuben Foster. Didn't do much of an investigation. Now, turns out, I think the Redskins were probably better off than a lot of people alleged initially.
Uh-huh.
Because Foster ultimately was acquitted and nothing stuck. But you'll remember the small potatoes comment from Doug Williams.
Of course.
Who Allen has continued to empower as one of his first hires here.
Absolutely.
A couple others that I don't have years for. I just kind of jotted down randomly before the show. The cheerleaders story.
Oh, yeah.
That happened during Bruce Allen's time.
Very much.
How about the Man Cave radio show with Jason Reed and Chris Paul? That was on the air for like 4 months.
Yeah. Who got longer?
On Redskins
radio. Or the Man Cave?
Oh, definitely LaFemina. He lasted almost a full season.
Seven months? I thought they got like 6 months. Did they get to 6 months?
I would take the under. I'm not positive. How about picking a quarterback this year that your head coach didn't want, who gets fired 5 weeks into the season? And one of my favorite all-time underrated, I'll put it on the debacle list, items.
Sure.
And I'll send you this audio for much later in the show, Thom. D'Angelo Williams throwing a fit when the Redskins had their first ever alumni game. And that year they called it a homecoming game. And D'Angelo Williams got to the locker room for the Panthers. This was in 2012. The Redskins were 3-5. And he was so embarrassed and so annoyed by the Redskins calling their alumni game a homecoming game. Because in his mind, high school and college, you schedule some sisters of the poor type team. That he said basically it inspired and motivated him and the Panthers to drub the Redskins.
Which they did.
They fell to 3-6. Now, they won the last seven games and they made the playoffs. One of two playoff appearances under Bruce Allen. Which playoff appearance was your favorite, 2012 or 2015?
12.
12?
12, yeah. Because it was the first time with Bruce. It was fun.
Which of Bruce's playoff wins is your favorite?
Well, you don't get to choose any of those because they don't exist.
But he's been here 10 years.
He has. He has been here 10 years. He's lost 100 games. Now, three of them aren't his fault, right? He inherited that debacle and Jim Zorn's trying to get fired. Jim Zorn's basically doing what George Costanza did when he's trying to get fired from the Yankees, dragging World Series trophies around and calling swinging gates and just, see, let's see if I can get away with this. But it's been amazing. And I would also add Trent Williams to that. It's an ongoing saga that it still has not resolved itself, by the way. This is the thing that should be discussed every day by everybody all the time.
Maybe the worst one.
How irresponsible, how reprehensible, how absurd this entire thing is. And again, to what end? What are you trying to do? What is it you hope to do here, Bruce? Only he knows. Remember, he knows the truth.
He does. We're still waiting on that truth. That's your 2009 item. If you'd like to wish Bruce a happy anniversary on the phones, we'd love for you to do so at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The phone lines are open for you now. Why don't we start with this next? Michael Lombardi is going to join us. He worked with Bruce Allen at one point.
That's right.
He'll be on the show at 10:45. But why don't we start with the best quotes of Bruce Allen's decade with the team next? We could put together a ranking of our favorites.
Mm.
We will do that on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I can't make it for the festivities, but I had to attend my grandma's funeral in Colorado. Happy 10-year anniversary, Brucey!
Cakes taking out the dagger and shoving it right into the back.
That was the excuse as to why nobody could. They thought, the Redskins legitimately thought that no one would notice that Scott McLuhan was not at the combine. They really believed in their hearts that no one would figure it out. Well, it didn't take very long for people to figure it out, and they started asking questions. And that was the excuse that Bruce came up with. Not that they'd had a falling out and Scott McLuhan refused to go.
Right.
It was that, well, his grandmother many months ago passed, and he's got to go deal with that. Unbelievable.
I feel a little bit bad about doing this show today, but I don't think this is the show that I want to do. It's the show that you guys all deserve. Does that make any sense?
Don't you feel bad for one second.
And on the way in here, I popped a tire on the side of the road.
Yep.
So karma has already struck me for everything that's going to happen in the next 4 hours. So we'll be fine. Let's get to some of the greatest quotes of Bruce Allen's 10 years with the Redskins. If you want to wish Bruce Allen a happy anniversary, you can do that throughout the show at 800-636-1067. Gabe is in Woodbridge. What's up, Gabe? How are you?
Grant, Dave, guys, this is incredible. The last 10 years have gone by like 10 days.
Yeah.
It's just so awesome to hold your head up high as a Redskins fan. FedEx is beautiful. Bruce has done an incredible job, and I've never been compelled to call you guys, but I am today because, I even have Bills fans who are my buddies that rag on me constantly, and that's great. So
it is fun.
Yeah, guys, keep it up. Just incredible. Beautiful. And look at the day outside.
Right.
It's just as beautiful as the Redskins, man.
It's a good point. It's sunny. It's nice. It's 72. It's comfortable. It's reasonable. But the thing is, before Bruce got here, people forget, the Redskins were headed in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't fun to go to work on Mondays before Bruce showed up.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't great to announce to a large group of people you were a Redskins fan. There was some shame that came with that. There was some embarrassment.
Sure.
And he has restored the dignity to this once proud organization. And that's why we celebrate today.
That's the reason for this day. Can you imagine? Anywhere, wherever you work right now, if you hear my voice, thank you for listening. Can you imagine your office place? Can you imagine if you're driving around, you have a bunch of things that you have to do? Could you imagine failing to this degree and getting more and getting more responsibility.
Here's
and getting
a promotion
promoted.
And a larger title.
Here's a new title on your door. More people underneath you. Other people are brought in to fix the organization. You oust them and bring back your own guys.
So I thought winning off the field was going to be number one on my list, but it's not.
It's not?
It's actually the more recent quote. I'm going to go with the culture being damn good, if you will, Thommy, to get this party started. Bruce Allen, when asked by J.P. Finley about the culture this year, talking about how good it is.
He bristled.
How can you possibly think, with everything going on at Redskins Park, that your culture is not only acceptable, but that it's good? And just to emphasize it, he threw in a little bit of a curse word there.
You know, the culture is actually damn good. These people care. We have a very young core of players that we have brought in here who are accustomed to winning. If you look at the record of these guys, they're accustomed to winning. They want to win. In free agency, we brought Landon Collins. A great leader, great player, wants to win. We haven't put it together. We've made too many mistakes on game day. But the effort of the players and the rest of this organization is fantastic. Doug Williams, his hours, if you want to check his time card, working all the time. Our scouts on the road, working all the time. And they're trying to find the right formula for success. These players have the ability, and we just have to execute it.
Time card means nothing to me. If you hire the wrong person and you have them stay at the office for 24 hours at a time, it doesn't help you a whole lot, so get rid of that. The most amazing thing about that quote, and everyone looks and zeroes in on the culture being damn good.
Sure, sure.
It's great.
Right, right.
It's the passing of the buck that they make mistakes on game day. You ever notice that part?
Yes.
As if this roster is exceptional. I gave, Vinny Serrato said, Jim Zorn a playoff team.
You didn't.
The team that we've established is really good. It's just that the roster itself, which is good enough, isn't coached well enough on game day because we make too many mistakes.
It was his very flimsy attempt to blame whatever this is on Jay Gruden. That was his fall guy this year, and in years past, he had others. That, I'm with you, is there's a lot more meat on that bone than him just trying to answer a question that he didn't think was coming with winning off the field. Just saying, well, it's not that bad. This one is more sinister. This is the, you can't possibly look at me as someone that hasn't done a good job. Like, look at the people underneath me. We work very hard. We try. He's like, judge me on my record. We try very hard. You can't do both.
I also love the taking a little bit of credit for Alabama's success in the SEC.
Yes, that's right.
Like, we've got a lot of winners in this locker room, a lot of guys who have won before. That's because Nick Saban's wonderful and they run a great program. Nothing to do with what's going on here at all. Another quote I'd like to play, if you don't mind, Danny. Just to get the party started?
Sure, sure, please.
How about one that gave us the gift of a multi-year segment, thanks to an idea from Tom Daley some 3 years ago now, or maybe more, who knows? In January of 2014, Bruce Allen and winning off the field, it gave birth to a child that is growing up in front of our eyes, that is out of diapers.
He's in kindergarten now. He's 5 years old.
This is a kindergarten segment that we're doing.
Learning to read?
This is one of the all-time greats.
But we're going to make sure everyone understands that that's not acceptable and that everybody is working together in order to get success on the football field and off the football field. I do think our charitable foundation does a fantastic job. We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
You got a couple you want to add here?
My favorite one is one that results out of anger. Hmm. This was angry, Bruce. This wasn't a normal presser. This is a, I don't like what just happened, and I'm going to let all of you know who the villain here is. That's my personal favorite.
All right, so we'll continue our five greatest hits from Bruce Allen. We got two batches of these, by the way. We'll have another five in the second half of the show later on. Grant and Danny just getting started. 10-year anniversary. We've got cake here. We're going to play some office golf. We will play Kirk versus Kurt. We've also got a fun game I've prepared where each GM's going to have to sit down at the number of years they're celebrating for their anniversary as if we were at an anniversary party, and we'll see how many people are still standing
Very
when
nice.
Bruce sits down
fun game.
When we get to 10 years. It's all coming up on G&D on 106.7. The Fan, the 10-year anniversary, the hashtag today is 10 years of Bruce. 10 years ago today, Bruce Allen was hired to take over as general manager of the Redskins. He has since taken on more responsibility as the team president and supposedly this past offseason took over more of the business side of things after Brian LaFemina was ousted. We are looking back right now at some of the greatest quotes of Bruce Allen's 10 years. We are taking your calls to celebrate. You can wish Bruce a happy anniversary if you'd like at 800-636-1067. So I gave you damn good culture and winning off the field. We had to start with those. Where are you going?
This is my personal favorite here. This combines a lot of elements, a lot of things that we all know. Very on brand, I would say, for the gentleman in question, Mr. 10 years himself, Bruce Allen. Remember the Cousins back and forth, right? It was exhausting. We all remember the, should they sign him long term? Should they trade him? Should they cut it? Whatever, right? We don't have to rehash the events. Bruce flew to Kirk's home state of Michigan.
He did.
I'll fix it. He went there to get a deal done because I get deals done. He came home with his tail between his legs where an actual adult told him to go pound sand in the form of Kirk's agent and his family, basically saying, you guys put this situation together.
He had dinner with Kirk and his dad.
Yeah, we're not doing this. He came back home. He grabbed J.P. Finley and Carol Maloney, dragged them into his office.
That's so true.
Had a tripod already set up with a camera.
He took Carol by her right ear and JP by his left ear, and he dragged him into his office and said, I got a statement to make.
And he needed to throw some fire and brimstone. A, to let you know that Kirk was a villain, which I'm sure is a great thing to do to get started with the year. The season's about to start. Number two,
right, he says, your starting quarterback.
You're starting quarterback. Number two, he says Kurt 57 times in this thing. And then number three, you can hear in his voice the passion that he has. Give it a listen.
After discussions with Kirk this weekend face-to-face, I wanted to clarify our negotiations for this year. Kurt is obviously an important part of our organization and is important to our team and fans to know where we stand. Our goal was to sign Kurt to a long-term contract with a final objective of having him end his career with the Redskins. On May 2nd, right after the draft, we made Kurt an offer that included the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history, $53 million. It also included a guarantee for injury of $72 million. The deal would have made him at least the second highest paid player by average per year in NFL history. But despite our repeated attempts, we have not received any offer from Kurt's agent this year. Kurt has made it clear to me that he prefers to play on a year-to-year basis.
So if you forget for 1 second that the numbers he just said and a couple of the items that he presented as he would have been ranking here, some of those things are misleading at best and just incorrect at worst.
Sure.
But forget that for a second. Find one other time where a team ever did that. Publicly went through the negotiation with a guy still on the roster, by the way.
That's right.
Let alone a franchise quarterback. And the numbers, again, were skewed and not correct, and what he said was completely misleading because he's talking about how much money they were guaranteeing him when he was already under contract for a big portion of that money that year, which counts toward the pot that he's referring to. Sure. It wasn't new money.
Sure, and the Redskins, by multiple franchise tags, if you just continued to play that game, Cousins would have made more and had still had more leverage, and we all know the story.
And he knew that, which is why there wasn't a real press conference, which is why there wasn't follow-up questions. It was a couple of people who have relationships with the team by, and I don't mean the actual reporters that were there who are very good at what they do. I mean the outlets. He goes, oh, this company and us have a good relationship and money gets exchanged. So here we go. You can come. And no one asked any follow-ups, and that's how they presented it. It was amazing. Also, he was looking down, kind of reading off a piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
And as someone tweeted and asked, does it say Kurt or does it say Kirk and he's changing it each time?
You heard the Kurtz. I mean, you heard him. Clear as day.
But do you think he wrote Kurt on the paper?
No, he wrote Kirk.
He did?
Yeah.
And then he said Kurt?
No, he's saying Kirk. It's just his accent.
Oh, it's his dialect.
It's a dialect.
I forgot about that.
So the next piece of audio I wanted to play, this is near and dear to our hearts because something happened with the other station that at the time Snyder owns. Okay? Dan Snyder didn't own him anymore. He sold him at a tremendous loss. Always remember, he's bad at that. But something happened where Bruce Allen was pissed off.
So can I say what that something is real quick?
Yeah. I was going to bring it up for discussion.
Okay, so Mike Shanahan had been fired. Mike Shanahan at that time was persona non grata. Is that the right phrase?
That's exactly right, yeah.
He was hated by Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen. Well, Mike Shanahan went on Kevin Sheehan's radio show.
In between Maryland talk.
And when he went on Sheehan's show, for not like a tell-all, I don't know that he got to the bottom of a lot of things, but he did his first public interview in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly, on the team-owned radio station.
That's right.
Which is the best thing ever.
It's so funny.
So this is the station. This is, you know, they get the Redskins guests and they take care of them as best they can. Now, they would tell you they didn't do a whole lot, but at least they didn't constantly block guests from coming on like they did for us. But that's beyond the story. So Sheehan gets Shanahan on, and years of trying to get Bruce Allen on the show, which had fallen flat. Suddenly, I get a call like the next day before the start of free agency from Tony Wiley, who's the PR guy, going, "You want Bruce today? You want Bruce today?" Yes. Okay. Cool. He'll come on today.
So I'm sitting here where I'm sitting now.
And you're that to pay back 980.
You're sitting
because
there.
Shanahan was on.
Your phone rings and you turn and show it to me. The call ID says Tony Wiley. And we're like, we're going, what the bleep is this about? And so you answer the phone. You say, yes, of course. We'll book the time, et cetera. And Grant ran around here like, extra, extra, read all about it, telling the whole world that this was happening. And it was unbelievable. We got off to a great start, a rip-roaring start. This is just a quick audio clip. But it was emblematic, I would say, of Bruce Allen's entire tenure and what I think of Bruce Allen. Hit it, Tommy.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on free agency day?
Not my name. Not my name. And it's not important that he knows my name.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on free agency day?
I'm a person I'll never speak to again in all likelihood, right? But it was day. Just so it was so perfect because A, it gave us day. And to be able to just say day after anything.
Mm-hmm.
B, it was... I'll show you how in touch I am with these guys. I'm one of them.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on free agency day?
And so he had Tony Wiley probably like scribble down the guys' names. Maybe Tony forgot my name
I'll
or doesn't know
it.
I think
Tony screwed it up. I'm not going to pin that on Bruce, but either way, it's just incredible.
But it's the attempt to, I'm one of you guys. We're all buds here, you know? Like
I listen each morning in my office.
I'm a big fan of you guys, Guillermo and Dionysus.
Like, the only thing that would have been funny is if he goes, Grant, Dave, I listen to you every day.
Right.
That would have been my favorite.
But it's the attempt to show, I'm a politician. I'm reaching out to the people. I'm one of you guys.
Rolling up my sleeves and doing the radio today.
I'm just a giant phony. I'm a huge phony.
Hello, Grant,
that shouldn't
Dave, how are
be
you
in my
on
chair.
Free agency day?
Here's one more for you.
Please.
Because I just want people have this fresh in the mind. Later today, we're going to try to make a phone call to Hawaii. We'll see if we can pull it off. But at a Bruce Allen press conference, it was actually the winning off-the-field presser, which
it
gave us.
It was the same one.
That was one of the greatest press conferences ever.
A lot in that vein.
We should honestly just play that 40 minutes uninterrupted today at some point. I might run that by CK for like, I don't know what we got on tonight. But anyway, phones in Hawaii. Chris Russell asked something along the lines of A.J. Smith, who, by the way, in like 10 years with the Chargers, won 100 games. He was here.
He was the anti.
Right. And now, so Bruce Allen in 10 years with the Redskins has lost 100 games. But he was here kind of helping out in the front office, doing whatever it was that they were having him do, giving some opinions. And he was in Hawaii, I think, at the time. And Chris Russell was asking, how is it possible that he's in Hawaii, but he's also integral in this front office? And this is what Bruce said.
If you're in Hawaii, you can watch the game tape as quickly as I can watch it here at Redskin Park. And because we have telephones in Hawaii, we can have a conversation immediately after the game. We are going to listen to the people who are in their roles, make sure we have the right people in their roles.
Ah, this is fun. So that actually, in hindsight, I look back, it's actually pretty great because it's just sheer condescension of Russell.
Exactly.
And I don't mean that it's Russell. It could have been me, it could have been you, it could have been anybody.
Well, he did that too. Remember when you were like, why don't you hire a sous chef from a great organization?
Yeah.
He was like, who was Charlie Casterly? Yeah. You mean the guy that was employed 15 years before I got here?
Right.
That
1999.
Guy?
Yeah. It's 2014. It was 15 years ago. But he was literally saying, well, dummy, we got phones and we got TVs in Hawaii. He can scout and call from there. We're just getting going. Who better to have on to talk Bruce Allen on his 10-year anniversary day Then a guy that worked with him, Michael Lombardi, joins us next. Grant and Danny, remember, Steven Strasburg's press conference is today in the 11 o'clock hour. We will take a break from our Bruce celebration to give you that. Strass is actually going to join us live at some point today. But otherwise, wall-to-wall, just a bunch of lists and rankings and some of our finest moments of 10 years of Bruce.
Well, you can't avoid looking at them. I think when you look at what the Philadelphia Eagles did this year, it shows you need not just one quarterback, you need two. And the Minnesota Vikings got to the NFC Championship game with the guy who didn't start the season for him. So, yeah, we're looking at all the players, and there's eight quarterbacks here. There's even a spider. I hope you guys make a note of that.
You know, Bruce, at the Senior Bowl on SiriusXM NFL Radio, moving the chains, had to point out that Kyle Lauletta was a Richmond Spider. The 10-year anniversary, Bruce Allen hired December 17th, 2009. We are celebrating today. We've given you some of our favorite quotes of his tenure. Still to come on the show, we will play Kirk versus Kurt. We'll play a little office golf in his honor. We'll eat some cake. We got a 10-year Bruce 10-year anniversary cake, yeah. Cake. And we're even going to try to make a phone call to Hawaii because he did tell us once there are phones in Hawaii. But who better to have on as the first guest of the day? Michael Lombardi, a radio.com sports NFL insider. Michael, you're in the leadoff spot on the guest rundown for the 10-year anniversary of Bruce.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, I hope this punt doesn't go as badly as those 10 years go, I can tell you that. But look, you know, it's an honor to be part of this. I really appreciate it.
You've earned it.
You have earned it, sir.
You're one of our favorite guests.
I've never even said his name. How could I possibly earn it? It's impossible. I mean, you know, I refuse to say his name. The punter from Richmond has done a tremendous job of rebuilding that franchise. I mean, you guys nailed it perfectly. You said he was going to clear up the parking problems at FedEx and the stadium traffic, and he's done that marvelously. There's no doubt.
Yeah, he has absolutely fixed those two issues, which he promised he would.
You can get rid of the pests by blowing up the house. That's kind of the best way
And look, let's just realize the culture's really good there. It's fabulous. I mean, so, you know, and what's the weather like in D.C. today?
Miserable. Nice.
No, it's gross. Don't lie to Michael.
Okay. It's raining. Well, it's probably then in the punter's world, it's nice. He would tell you it's sunny.
It is very sunny. I'll ask this, I guess. When you worked with Bruce, when he came here, I watched back yesterday a lot of the stories, and in fact, I remember being excited. Not necessarily that he had an amazing track record or won Super Bowls or anything, but it was better we thought than Vinny Serrato, and he had won in other places. You were with him previously. I mean, he had some success before he got here, no?
By what? By doing what?
Division championships while in front offices?
But do you think he did it? Do you think he did it? I mean, that's the hardest thing to do in sports is to figure out why you win, why you lose. Do you think he had any real reason why we won? I mean, my first year in Oakland, we drafted Matt Stinchcomb in the first round. I signed Barry Sims. The first guy I ever signed with the Oakland Raiders was Barry Sims. I gave him a $10,000 advance. The punter told me it was the worst $10,000 ever spent, and I'm just wasting the owner's money. Now, Matt Stinchcomb never went on to play, and Sims was part of our Super Bowl team in 2002 as the starting left tackle. Think about that. How hard is it to get a starting left tackle off the street? That's a true story. So I don't know how you quantify what he did to win. Like, see, this is the perception, and I'm writing about this for the Daily Coach tomorrow because – I think we have a real perception problem in America. I think we perceive things. Remember the movie The Usual Suspect?
It's a great film, sure,
Kent,
of course.
Guy, right, great, Verbal Kent. He was viewed as being, you know, a mute. He was viewed as being illiterate, didn't know anything, walked with a limp, right? But he ended up being the smartest guy. But our perceptions led us to believe that he was that, and he was nothing but that. That goes on in the NFL. And if you're coaching in sports, you can't coach towards perception. If your perception is, hey, the Redskins got this great defense, or you perceive the punter's really good, then you're just going to start collecting data to support that perception. When the reality of it is I like to know exactly, you know, I think we won in Oakland not because of Michael Lombardi. We won because of Rich Gannon. I mean, John Gruden's first 2 years there, he's 16-16, right? He's 10-20 his second time around. Now, the owner thought the reason we won there was because of John. When the reality was there was a lot of people helping John, and part of one of those guys that was helping him was his father, right? And his father controlled personnel, and the defense was controlled by Al, and John was just basically the offensive coordinator. So I think the winning that happened in Oakland had a lot to do with Rich Gannon.
At M. Lombardi NFL for one of our favorite guests, Michael Lombardi, joins us here on Grant and Danny. Michael, the thing that I'm amazed by is it would take a reasonable person about 30 seconds to figure out that Bruce is a phony, to figure out he doesn't know what he's doing.
You can't say that. He's conned the league better than anybody.
And that's my question is, how the hell is he done?
I mean, he's had two president's jobs. I mean, because, you know, it's a little bit like people go and buy secretariats or offsprings, even though they know most of those horses don't run well. You know, they must think that because he's the son of a legendary coach, he has some secret magic. And he's really – look, he is very – the punter is very political. He's very good at it. You know, and he'll kiss babies and shake hands. And he's convinced – now, the Glazers hired him because John wanted him. That's how he got that job there. But John wanted him. And, you know, and then when he came to – that's when he came to Washington because he had been working with – you know, because of the Over the Hill gang and his dad and all that. And Dan fell fall for that. I mean, Dan's still in it. Dan can't see the forest for the trees. Dan doesn't even know, as Uncle Junior said in The Sopranos, Dan's so far out of the race, he actually thinks he's in the lead.
if he was no longer running the Redskins next year, which we don't know if that'll be the case or not, do you think he'd be running a front office or in a front office elsewhere?
Are you crazy? Seriously. I mean, there's no chance. I mean, look, he's had 10 years to prove what he's worth. I had 1 year in Cleveland. I got fired. I traded Trent Richardson for a first-round pick and got fired, you know. And so he's had 10 years to prove whether he can compete. I mean, most people in the league hope he stays. I think he stays. I think he's going to have another year. I don't think Dan's going to get rid of him. I really don't. I don't think it's Dan's nature to do that.
We had no idea what Michael Lombardi was going to say when we booked him. We didn't know which way this was going to go. Michael, the fact that you're the first guest on the Bruce Allen 10-year anniversary show meant a lot to us. We appreciate a couple of minutes. We know you're busy. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Be well. He is our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Lombardi.
Dar reached for the phone there to try to get a goodbye in.
No reason to reach for that.
No reason to reach. Don't even reach.
Just asked him a bunch of questions. I kind of knew what he was going to say afterwards.
Yeah.
But it was a fun time.
Are you crazy? That's my favorite one.
That's a great line. Steven Strasburg's introductory press conference. Can you call it introductory if he's already been here his entire career?
I actually don't know the answer to that. Reintroduction?
He is staying in Washington. You will hear that press conference, and he's going to join us live today, all between now and noon. We should let you know that when we aren't talking to or listening to Steven Strasburg, the Bruce celebration will continue. And in the second half of the show, we'll rank some of the debacles. We'll play Kirk versus Kurt. A little office golf as well. We'll make a phone call to Hawaii. It's going to be a fun day. D&D on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.